Jeff Seymour, and welcome to the podcast. Today I'm going to talk about the best way to authentically deliver your lines, just like you do in real life. I'll explain. I saw a comment on, I think it was a Facebook post, and it was done by a gentleman that I work with, David, in Adelaide, Australia, where I'll be going back to this year, 2018, and I'll be visiting Sydney and Melbourne as well, and hopefully this time I'll get out to the Golden Coast, but we'll see. And by the way, I'm coming to the UK and Paris in July of this year, so I'm hoping I'll see you there. You can always email me at jeff@reallifeactor.com. And while I'm saying it, I want to encourage all of you people here in Los Angeles, anyone who listens to this podcast, to just come by and watch a class because, you know, I want the word to get out. I think this is a very effective way of working, and I think it gives the actors a lot of confidence, and it makes life a lot easier. And, you know, the fact of the matter is a lot of my students book, so I know it's working. At any rate, David, I think you were complimenting one of the recent podcasts, and then you said, yes, you get all of that. It all makes perfect sense. But when you have to use lines, when you actually have to use preset lines, you know, the script, therein lies the problem. And having been a writer in my life, you know, I take the written word very seriously, and I think that ultimately the trick of the actor, you see, is to be able to take the words exactly the way they're written and spin them in the gold and make perfect sense and use the words. This is what I certainly encourage all of the actors I work with to be the thing they should always aspire to. Never be lazy. Never just give us a variation unless you've been told to. Powers that be will say, hey, don't worry about the lines per se. What do you feel like saying? And so these things can happen. But I think that what we do as actors is we aspire to be the person who can pick up the line off the page and make it sing, make it work every time. The problem that I see when people are interpreting the script is that it always feels that first and foremost, what the actor is doing is they're performing. They're performing. They're performing their lines. I know some of you are saying, well, yeah, it's a performance, man. What do you mean? Yeah, I know. But, you know, if we're going to go with this pretense that we want it to look like it's real life, it's just happening, it's spontaneous, and we're witnessing an event, we're watching something actually go down, you know, take place. I think that as I've continually covering these podcasts, that we're looking for that authentic behavior that blurs the line between some made-up stuff and what is actually happening, and that's that can and often is the most riveting kind of storytelling. And so, in the story that we'd be watching, certainly it would never be the intention of the characters in the story to be performing lines or scenes, right? I mean, come on. Let's think about it. Of course not. It would be that they would be having this thing happen. So you see, here's another reason why. Because I see it all the time. It's very, very subtle. I was just working with someone on Skype, and she's a wonderful actress. And she was showing me a couple of scenes that she taped. And on the second scene where she had to be, I think it was giving her father the business, you know, and telling him what she had, the truths of, you know, this and that. My criticism of the thing was, you know, essentially that it just felt more like a performance than it did me suddenly watching some footage of a girl going off on her father. That seems so plain and simple, you know. And that's really all I had to tell her because she's very smart. So what does that mean? It means that this stuff just creeps up on us. We don't even know we're doing it without realizing it. We're performing. We're making sure that when we get up to chew our dad out, that we realize that this is really hard to say, and this is my papa, and now I have to tell him these things, and I'm really hurt, and it's weird, and he's my father. And, you know, we go through this laundry list of stuff that we think we have to make sure that this performance is imbued with so that, you know, we do our job. But what wasn't happening was the actual truth-telling dressing down of her father that was supposed to take place. You see, in real life, because we're not distracted with performance, because we're not off practicing our lines in a way that we think we're going to say them and then try and nail that down and then come in and then perform that, you see, because what we hope is that this shape that we offer, this situation that we create and conjure for our audience will tell the story that we're hoping to tell, will look just like the way it's supposed to look, will give the audience a feeling of the way that it's supposed to feel, and so they will be able to get this particular scene of the girl who finally lets her father know what's what. Okay, so I get that most of us aren't aware that that's what's happening, that we actually are, through all of the acting speak, acting talk, the all the things that I'm constantly talking about, you see, you couldn't help but make the point of it. You're acting. That's the point of it. So you have to stop with this nonsense that, no, that's just how I put it together, and then I go, and then it's real. That's such bullshit. If you think about it, most of the time you pick up a script, let's be honest, you would say, how am I going to do this? How does this scene go? How will I do this scene? How will I do these lines? And what we're really thinking about as we address these scenes, these situations, these conflicts is really, come on, it's really, how are we going to do it? How are we going to pull it off? How does the mechanics of acting, of scene structure, of directing, of all of that stuff, how does it not pull you to the dark side of performance and taking your eye off the essential ball? How does it not do that? One of the things I want you all to kind of lock onto, if you will, is the idea that we approach a scene and admit it. We approach the scene and we think, how are we going to do it? How are we going to perform it? Now, turning to the book of real life and doing what I always do, I think, boy, that's funny, you know? We never think that in real life. Good God, no. I mean, ever. You might think, you know, I wonder how this is going to go. I wonder how he's going to take it. I wonder how she's going to take it. I wonder what, you know, Jim is going to think about this. I wonder what Frank's going to do when he finds out about that. You know, we think things like that with regard to outcome and whatnot. But we may think about how we're going to approach it. I'll give you that, certainly, because we need to make choices. We need to say, you know, and we do in life, you know, but they're done in a way that, you know, how I always talk about it. I never use these words because I don't want to distract us from our mission by saying, so what choice are you making? You know, I just avoid all dialogue that we don't use in life. I never, ever use it. I don't boil down scenes in any way to what that terminology is. It'll come out another way. And so, let's take, for instance, David, that you're in a scene and you have to tell somebody that you work with that you're getting an idea that perhaps they're the one responsible for having taken something from the business where you're at. And in fact, you're positive of it because you saw one of the things for a split second in his trunk when he was closing it, when you surprised him one day in the parking lot. And things are blowing up at work, and you know that if you don't intercede and do something, chances are, if it does come out and he does get caught, this is serious business. So right now it's, let's just put everything back. I'll pretend like it never happened. Don't ever do this again, mate. That's it. Okay. The lines per se, what you say back and forth, isn't important in this example. What is important is just the idea of what this is about. Okay? So now here. You have lines. You have things you need to say, and they all pertain to this particular thing. You may have some lines in the beginning that don't go right to the heart of the matter. You guys are sitting out by his car, and you know this is about his wife. How are things going? You know, did little Freddie, is he on at camp? You know, you're making chit-chat. And then you get into the nuts and bolts of it. Okay? So, for instance, if you had to make chit-chat about his family, about his kid, about these things, you know, you would never think about how you're going to say any of these lines. Even if you kind of knew that you were going in and it just instinctively, as you were walking out to the car or whatever to talk with him, you were interested in his family or what was going on, and you just want to get a nice, you know, place of where we're at ease talking to each other, and then you're going to lower the boom, essentially, and, you know, get to the heart of the matter. So you have a group of lines, and they have to do with his wife, his kid, the house, the new addition, everything else. Do you know what would carry the day there? Is you simply asking all of the questions in earnest. You would know how to talk about these things in earnest. Now, before you think, well, okay, yes, but, you know, I don't know exactly what the lines are per se that I'm going to be saying, and I get that. Listen, at the end of the day, there is some skill to being an actor. There is some sleight of hand and trickery at being an actor. There is some. We can't just, you know, compare it to life and say, hey, this doesn't quite line up. What gives? I mean, you know, at the end of the day, yes, we are saying all these things that are pre-written, and we do have to do it over and over and over and over again. And we do have to do shows 8 times a week and make it fresh all the time. So, yes, there is some sleight of hand, expertise, skill level that comes into it. But let's look at where it starts. So, you would know you're going to ask about little Freddie and camp and how are things going with his wife and what's happening, you know, with his father's illness. You would kind of know what you were saying. And even though in the back of your mind, you would know where this conversation was going, man, you were going to have to accuse your good friend of theft. I mean, that's tricky business. Don't think about it as a scene. Imagine actually telling a friend that. With all of that kind of hanging above your head as you're making this, you know, sincere but small talk with your friend before you got to that. Don't you know that in life you could be just instantly sincere? And you would ask all of those questions in earnest? You would. It'd be easy. Why? Well, because you know your friend knows you, and you know that he could tell if you were full of shit or you were thinking about other things while you were speaking. He would know if you were asking sincerely, if you really cared. And so you would just do it. Think in terms of what you're actually saying and just say that. I can't tell you how many times I've turned a performance around by saying, look, okay, say the lines to me, but I'm really, really, really stupid, okay? Don't forget how stupid I am. I want you to say it to where I can understand what you're talking about. Please, I'm a dummy. I don't get it. Right now, I just need you to slow down and speak right to me and tell me what it is that you're saying. I don't care about the emotional this, that, and all the other stuff. What is your point again? And it's interesting, even in a scene where there is a lot of emotion, where someone has really given someone else the business, and so, you know, there's yelling and it's loud or whatever, when I get someone to just start speaking to me and I say, explain it, what is your point? They naturally, even in just what would seem like a simple back and forth, they bring heat to it because their mind now is on the injustice of whatever it is they're trying to get across to me, or, you know, the egregious misstep that I made, and they need to straighten me out. So right when they're just kind of intellectually just getting the line out to me to where I can understand it, it's already got this authentic loft to it. You can already feel it coming up like, okay, well, now I understand you. And there is a sobering effect, I think, especially if I suddenly pop in and say, okay, say it to me, because I'm not in cahoots. I'm not in the scene. I'm standing outside. I'm in a classroom. I'm sitting in my chair talking to the actors that are up in front of me. And I go, okay, just tell me the stuff. And suddenly I notice a different kind of responsibility is taken, not because they're talking to the prof right now, but because I am not in their scene. I am just like this innocent bystander who's asking them to speak to me. And their kind of innate ability to make sense and to just simmer down and get their point across seems to come into play. And what this keeps telling me is that we are forever distracted by the packaging of what we do, by the way it looks, by the tempo of it, by how it's supposed to sound, how we think it's supposed to go. And what it loses, of course, is the responsibility we take in life to make sure we are understood, that our points are crystal clear, and then leave the way it actually is served up, the detailery of exactly how it goes up and down, to just be kind of our contrail. It just falls behind us. We're not focused on it. It suddenly takes the shape it obviously is because I'm laying it down as I'm going, like I am right now. If I was distracted even for a moment about my performance here, or yes, I'm playing the part of this acting coach, and so I think what I'll do, you know, all of that cheapens it. It doesn't make it any better. It makes it fake and phony. So, what you need to do is, first of all, accept the fact, as I keep saying in these things, this is just the way the game is played. This is how we do it. We pick up lines verbatim, and then we decide to say them. Now, I'll give you a bunch of things that I say from time to time. One of them is, everything that was on that script was what you were going to say anyway. These are just your crib notes. So they're there when you glance down to remind me of what I was going to say anyway. See, perspective is a lot of the game, you know. That's how we get good at our sleight of hand with this stuff. And I think the best way to get to that is just to, as much as possible, whenever possible, to let guide me the same things that guide me into all of my beautiful, authentic performancing in life. And so, I know for a fact that when I'm talking to people, for instance, in a situation like I put you in, David, I would know how to authentically ask them questions. I wouldn't think about the way I was saying it. I wouldn't come up with, oh my goodness. That's just like why I think that when actors go through and then they mark the words they're going to stress. Come on, man. Really? Are you just, you miss all the stress words in life? You're lost, right? You don't know how to do it. You go through your day, you look back at, you know, 15 words. Ah, should have stressed that word. Where is the soap? No, where is the soap? That's how it is, because where is the soap? Where is the, okay, hold on a second. I'm going to screw it up here. Where is the soap? Maybe it should be where is, yeah, of course, because it's like where. So I come into the room and I go, where? No, that's weird. That may scare them. Okay, I'll come in. I'll say, hey. No, there's no hey. Okay, you see, this is what actors do. And it just seems insane to me. Stop doing that. What is it? You don't know how to ask questions? You don't know how to do stuff? I guarantee you do if you actually put your mind on what it is you're saying and what it is you want and the point you're trying to get across, and you stop preoccupying yourself with the sound of it, the way you're delivering it, the way it's coming across, the way, you know. You got to stop that. Because in life, we don't do that. So now what about this business of when you have all the lines, a story you tell, and let's say you have to do it 8 times a week in a play, or, you know, take after take, all day long. I'm going to tell the same story. How do you keep it fresh every single time? Well, I'm sure most of you listening have a story you've told many times. And if you're a truthful person, you probably stick to the actual details of the story every single time. And since it actually happened and you're a truthful person and you've told the story many times, wouldn't it stand to reason that you probably almost use all the same words? And if that's true, would it, if we could somehow, let's say it was a really great story, you've told it many times, would they necessarily be that different if we could somehow magically film them unbeknown to you and then compare them? Again, if you were a truthful person, you're telling a truthful story and you were actually using the facts of the story, wouldn't it stand to reason that you would probably tell it over and over again, basically the same way? You know where the jokes are. You know what's funny. You know what the scary part is. In life, it's never a situation. It's never a problem. You could do it right now and then go out into the front yard at the barbecue. Like, oh, okay, Jeff, you got to tell him. I'm sorry, man. He just said it in the back. Yeah, this is a crazy story. And you probably tell it. And then we go down and say, oh, man, I'm sorry. Jeff, you got to tell him. You know. And it would be fresh. It would be just as funny or scary or whatever it was each and every time. And do you know why? Because I never thought about how I was saying it. I just told the story. I laid out the facts. I do what I do in life. And so, the number one thing when you're looking at your lines is never to be preoccupied with that novice thing of, how will I say it? But instead, what am I saying? What am I trying to get across here? What do I need you to know? And let me just speak to that. Let me just say that to you. And the form of it takes care of itself. It does. So to recap, David, what's happening, my friend, is you're dealing with your lines kind of like they're little hot potatoes. And you want to kind of chuck them in the right direction, but you don't want to have them feel overhandled. You know, you don't want to act the line. So what people will do is they'll do all these crazy things. One is they'll kind of throw the line. They'll just kind of toss it. You know, they'll just hope that if they just give it a little soft underhand chuck and throw it into the scene, no one will notice that they're acting. Sometimes people refer to that as, you know, throw the line away. Yeah, I get that. I get it. A lot of the time what they really mean is just don't act so hard right then. Because the fact of the matter is, no one throws lines away. Why? Because we all fancy the stuff that we talk about as being interesting. We think that what we have to say is the stuff. Why would I throw anything away? I wouldn't throw anything away that I was speaking. If I was going to throw it away, I just wouldn't say it. I wouldn't waste my time. But if I'm going to say it, I don't care how small or dumb a story it is. If I got something I want to tell you about, you know, my experience of buying cherry tomatoes at Walmart, then I'm going to tell you about it. I'm going to make sure you get every wonderful little morsel. So we never throw the line away. We never chuck it underhand. No one does that in real life. You notice in real life how you rarely, unless there's some heavy machinery going on somewhere, you rarely have to ask your friend to repeat what they're saying. You rarely have to say, speak up, I can't hear you, or what was that? Why? Because everyone's bearing down on their pencils when they're telling us stuff, man. They all want us to get what they're saying because we all, you know, sometimes perhaps we're misdirected or, you know, living in a fool's paradise, but we think what we have to say is interesting. So we try and interest people in it, and so we're clear, we're loud, we enunciate, we want to make sure everyone gets it. It's the actor who will chuck it underhand, just kind of toss it across. Oh, well, hopefully no one will notice that might have been full of shit, but I'll just kind of say it like I wasn't even trying. I wouldn't even move my mouth once. I'll just kind of say it, just kind of toss it over there. I say, yeah, I don't know where he is. I just want to do a little bit of it. And then maybe no one will notice because it'll be so quiet or so mumbled that it'll be like, oh, God, that can't be acting. Look, it's so natural the way it just fell out of his mouth and onto his chin. People don't do that. Right? I mean, they just don't. So what we need to do is never look to how you're going to say. You know, I always say, don't fall in love with the way you say something, but you can fall in love with what you're saying. I mean, I enjoy what I'm saying. I like these lines in the sense that I like what sense they make. I think that they are saying what I need to say. I embrace them. This is a good point. That. It's okay for me to have affection for the words, for what it is I'm saying, for the accuracy of the point that I'm making. But I must never, ever like the way or love the way I say it. Okay, but let me give you an example for where we still may love the way we say something, but we're just not, that doesn't drive us. And here's the example. The story that you go around telling people that scares them or makes them laugh. You don't fall in love with the way you say it, although you will say it at these points the same way. You know that if you pause and then you say that, everyone laughs, so one could make the argument, yes, but then don't you like the way you do it? Yes, but it doesn't drive me. I don't sit there going, okay, make sure you say it that way. Do it that way, the way you really like it. I'm not thinking about it. It's just instinct. I know how to tell the story. I'm not thinking about it. The actor thinks about it. The actor has their hands all over it, and it's pushing it out in front of them and hoping it'll be accepted. You know, it's this performance concept. In real life, we tell our stories, we make our points, we make sure we're clear, and what drives us is the content, is the point. And if you take responsibility for that, the performance takes care of itself every time. Some of these concepts and ideas will just make a light go on in your head. You'll get it. You'll just feel it. Go, oh, of course. You'll get a little switch in your perspective, and it'll all make sense and line up beautifully for you. Most of the time, I think what happens is people say, yeah, no, wait, that makes sense to me. That makes sense to me. And so then you'll go in and you'll try it, and it may not, because you'll be aware of it, perhaps. You'll be thinking, oh, here it is. No, there it's not. And you're just trying to find your way. Okay, go easy with yourself. Just keep trying to do more and more of that. Just keep trying to make sense for the sake of the other person in the scene, not sense for the sake of the scene or sense for the sake of the director or the people watching. No, just keep making simple sense. Just keep every time being diligent about going right back to that spot of, I want to speak to you in the first person. I want to make my points. I know that my performance will be the byproduct of me handling this part of it. Let me just focus on making my points, making sure you understand me, making sure you feel the tip of my spear, making sure that you get these things as I want them out, make sure I convince you of these things, make sure that you see that I am sincere, not because of the way it sounds or the way I've musically trained myself to say the line in my car over and over again at every stoplight. No, let's not do that. So this is how it starts. You pick up the lines. You do them verbatim, and you think in terms of what you're trying to get across, what you're trying to say, and that's it. And you don't listen to it until it makes sense. You don't hear it and then go, oh, yes, now it has the sense I was hoping for. Don't, because then you're just going to be sitting there on your own shoulder listening for that same tone again. Don't do that. Make points. Counter-argue. Be witty. For all the same reasons a person is and does. That's it. Forget acting. Don't think about acting. Don't think about performance. David, thank you so much for this question. And I'll look forward to seeing you in November in Australia. Okay. Thanks for listening. You have been listening to a Real Life Actor podcast. This is Jeff Seymour. Real Life Actor podcasts can now be found on Spotify, iTunes, and Podomatic. Please tell your friends. And if you're in the Los Angeles area and you'd like to audit one of my classes, send me an email at jeff@reallifeactor.com. Thanks for listening.